to each one in the precious name of Jesus. It's a blessing to be here. I would like to, I'd like to ask you to sing 585. Maybe you could stand together and sing that song. I'd like to sing that today and tomorrow as well. So maybe we could all stand together and sing that song. Do you want to start that, brother? Father in heaven, this forenoon hour we bow before you with thanksgiving in our hearts. We thank you, Father, for a beautiful day that you've given us, Lord, to gather in this way and the truth that you shared with us through your word this morning from Titus. Lord, we pray that you would bring about a continuation of truth that we may learn of your ways, that we may learn to be more like you. That we would learn of the oracles that come from eternity. Father, this next 45 minutes, we pray that you would take the bread of heaven and you'd break it into our lives as you see fit, Father. We love you. We ask for your guiding hand and your presence and ask you to bless each one as we gather together in this way for this time together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. The subject at hand is biblical honor. And I also want to greet each one in the precious name of Jesus. It's the only reason that we are here together. It's the only reason that I am able to be here. It's because of that great name of Jesus. Biblical honor is a subject that runs deep into the heart of every people in every nation. It's a word that I've wrestled with in my life as a young man, and I know it's something that you wrestle with in your lives as young men and young women. And so I was just blessed in my own life as I thought of these things. I've never done this. I have my own family, and so it feels like I'm going to be speaking to a bunch of other men's children. And so you bear with me, and if I make some mistakes, Your father makes mistakes too, so I'll try to do my part, sharing some burdens that the Lord laid upon my heart for this subject. The subject of honor we'd like to look at today and tomorrow. Today the title for the message would be A God-Honoring Life, probably part one. God-Honoring Life, part one. We'd like to look at it in light of God's Word and to keep in mind that the title is Biblical Honor. It's not just any old honor. But honor runs deep. It runs, it's in the fabric of everything we do. We do what we do because we honor something or someone. The disclaimers that come with honor, the thought is often shared or pushed back on from young men and women, has always been, is honor the same as obeying? Do I need to obey? Hopefully we can make some clarification. Hopefully we can be clear. Honor. Honor this morning is what we give to others in our life. Not so much how much we are honored. It's what we give to others. It makes all the difference. So think of those scriptures in John chapter 5, verse 4, verse 44. Very familiar scriptures. They're the words of Jesus. It's he's speaking to these people here in John chapter 5, verse 44, and he's telling them in verse 44, how can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? As I read that verse, has been a kind of a battering verse for how can we receive honor of God if we seek the honor one of another. And I thought, does Jesus say in there that we are not allowed or it's not acceptable to honor others? And he is in no way saying that in these scriptures. It seems like he is saying that if you are seeking the honor of others, you cannot have my honor. But if you have a desire to honor those, then God's given order and God's given plan. It's a real blessing. It's the heart of God. So just a thought I wanted to share from that verse. The core of this doctrine, of this truth, there is a drive to honor God and the authorities that God has put in our lives. That never changes. It's a doctrine that our brother was talking about this morning. It's a doctrine that never changes. As I thought of these things, I realized I'm going to be speaking mainly to young people from the age 15, 16 to maybe 24, 26 years old. And so as I thought of that, I thought it was humbling this morning as I drove up here with my son and one of my nieces. And I thought back over 20 years of life. It seemed like yesterday I was sitting where you were. 20 years of life go by quick. I sat in your place 20 years ago, halting between many decisions, studying life and studying men, studying God and desiring to do what was right. 20 years went by, and I'm blessed this morning. It's a blessing. I was encouraged and also humbled to see the mistakes, see the blessings, and see everything that God has given all of us together. 20 years ago, many of you were little babies. It's hard to believe. So when talking about these things, it was a blessing for my family and I to just visit over this subject of honor and blessing each other and practicing this truth. You can turn your Bibles to some text verses that I was given for this subject, 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 22, and then we're going to read a few verses in chapter 2. Chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Down into chapter 2, see the verse there, and we'll start in verse 13. We'll go up in verse 12. "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God." Verse 17, "Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully." We'll just stop reading there, but to verse 17, "Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king." A very familiar verse. So there's a question. I have two questions that I would say these are eternal questions. It helps us understand this matter because no one is neutral. Not one soul is neutral. And that's a blessing this morning, no one. We are honoring someone or something. And our life is a display of what we're honoring. I just have to think of this morning. I don't know if we'll ever gather like this again, but 10 years can lap by from a time like this. And maybe this week the Lord will make some calls upon our life for some changes. He will. He has in my life every day, every moment. We're seeking God. If you're here, as a brother shared, to seek God and to put his finger on areas in your life and my life, we can change him. But many times the devil, Satan, likes to snatch out that conviction by just being foolish and doing the things that are natural to do. And we know we need to change something, but we just want to wait a little bit. We'll wait a couple more years. But 10 years will go by and you're establishing your practice of life. You're establishing what you're honoring. 1828 dictionary says honor means any expression of respect or high estimation by words or actions. Expressed worship paid to the supreme being. True nobleness of mind springing from a principle within, with moral rectitude or a distinguishing trait in the character of a good man. God would have all men to honor the Father, honor the Son, even as he honoreth the Father. Then God says, honor thy father and thy mother. And we'd like to look at those two today. We have a few others to look at tomorrow. We'd like to look at honoring God, honoring the Son, Jesus Christ, and then honoring our fathers and mothers, honoring in the home would be the second point, if the Lord provides time. It says, to reverence, to manifest the highest place for in words and actions, to entertain the most exalted thoughts of, to adore, to worship. An honorable man or woman are honest without hypocrisy or deceit. They're fair. One can say his or her intentions appear to be honorable. It isn't hard to see when someone is intentionally honorable. It won't just happen. Sometimes in life, things kind of fall in place, but very few of them do. They are intentionally planned. We have to plan them. So when I read these verses in 1 Peter, honoring the Father this morning, and I thought, honoring the Son as the Son honors His Father in heaven. The greatest honor that you could start with in your life, and many of you I know are born again, but there may be someone that's not born again. The greatest honor that you could be born again from the corruptible seed of the Word of God. The incorruptible seed, the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Think of trying to live life, not surrendered and not submitted to God, to the Father. Just living that life, it's like a grind and everything just continues to go wrong. In 1 Peter there, I often am blessed by the, you know, how do we become born again? The other evening we heard about being clear on the new birth. See, we are born again not by a feeling that comes down from somewhere. We're born again by the incorruptible Word of God. And so when the Word of God becomes a love and a passion for my life, we're born again. Does it mean we have needs? Yes, but we have submitted and we come to God in that fashion. And so now we are endeavoring to be born, being born again, and then we lay ourselves at this Word. Whatever you teach us, Lord, we say amen to thy will. And that's born again. The born again is not, it is an experience, but it's not just one singular experience that just carries us through. Born again is being born of this precious Word, and we walk with this Word. So that was the first thought, is very foundational and very elementary, but it's so important that we don't try to honor parents, honor authority, honor things, and not have our not be born of God, not be submitted and honoring to God. Even though if you're not, you're still, the calling is still the same, to honor our parents and to honor those in authority. The other thing, it is not honorable to oppress the weak or to insult the vanquished. So this morning, the first call upon all of our lives, not just young people, but primarily we're speaking to you, is that you would honor Him. Honor Him with your all. And when we get that bolt and nut cemented in the fabric of our conviction that I want to honor Jesus Christ with my whole life, many of the afters, they come easier. They don't always come easy, but they come easier. So just something to be reminded of. The next we're going to look at is honor in our homes. This is a honor that is not at the level of God, but this is a honor that is many times downplayed by Satan. And that question we asked earlier, and some of those questions go through your mind. Do I really have to honor my father and my mother? Or you know, I know those questions. I shared earlier, I was humbled this morning. I remember 20 years ago. Do I really have to? So I thought of that. I thought of a little story. I like sometimes reading stories to the children at home, giving some picture. Want us to know the enemy this morning. We have to know him. And he works right here. An artist once painted a picture. The title of this little thing is Know Your Enemy. An artist once painted a picture of a chess game between Satan and a young man. The chessboard was set in such a way that there appeared to be no way for the young man to escape. The young man's horror was distressing to see. Finally, a master player was called to see if there were any way the young man could win. He studied the picture. Picture with me a chessboard. He studied the picture. Suddenly he shouted. He said, "Young man, make that move. It's the move that'll win. There is a way out after all. Young woman, you are not in a chess game this morning. You are in something far more important than that. You are in the life-death battle with Satan in the eternal kingdom of God. life and death battle. He is constantly scheming to catch you off guard. And if you are not alert, he will win. If you're not alert, he will win. Let me tell you, though, you don't need to be one of the losers by facing him God's way, and God will help you. You can be strong to overcome Satan. It won't be easy. You can expect a lifelong battle, but the other battle is destroying many. You need to prepare yourself well right now for the conflict. Right now. These are good times for your life. Not married. Responsibilities are lower. Prepare now. Prepare well now for this conflict. Just a little story. So many times, as I remember in my life, I faced unnecessary battles. I tried to make unnecessary decisions when I could have just said, "Daddy, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do, Daddy?" And I could have just been more free. I see those regrets. This morning, this isn't a chess game. We're talking about a bigger picture. But just a story of that, knowing your enemy. But this morning, I want to liken the biblical honor is the move so you can win. It is a perfect move for you and I to move, and we will win. We'll win the battle. Lord, help us. As a general rule, the call for everyone sitting here this morning, you're facing the great pressures of time. In your time, they may differ, they may have a different face, but there's a similar fabric that just presses in. This subject of honoring and obeying our parents is our only hope, outside of the new birth, being born again, and filled with the Spirit of the living God. This is one of the greatest lies that Satan has ever whispered into the ears of young men and women. That you don't have to honor and obey your parents, and everything will be just fine. And I just want to echo the burden of God, I believe. It is one of the greatest lies that Satan whispers, and I know he's whispered it to your ears. He's whispered it to mine and those that are older than us. You'll be all right. Just keep going. It is destruction. My mind goes to Proverbs 30, verse 17. It says, "The eye that mocketh his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the raven of the valley shall pluck it out, and the young eagle shall eat it." You can turn your Bibles to Isaiah 45, there's a few verses there on the subject. We're talking a little bit here, trying to make a transition into the honoring and obeying our mothers and our fathers and our mothers. And Isaiah continues a little bit on here with striving with our maker. Isaiah 45 verse 9, it says, "Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, What makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, What begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth?" Those are asked, I believe, in ways of dishonor. Have you ever had entertaining thoughts like that? Why am I here? Why do I have these parents? Why do I have this in my life? I would say very likely those thoughts are accompanied by striving with our Maker. We strive with our Maker. God has divinely placed us here this morning, and He has made no mistake. That's encouraging, isn't it? He has made no mistake. He placed us here together in this worship service. He allowed you to be born into your home by the institution of eternity, and God is watching. May we not strive. May we not ask that in our minds. Why, Father? Why, Mother? And then along with that, we're accompanied by striving with our Maker there in verse 9. But the thing is, in verse 9, it says, "Woe unto him that striveth with his Maker." how long I remember as a young teenager striving against things that I kind of knew that I needed to change. And it was an awful striving because I was always coming against. You know, you ever come against a T road? I'd always come against. But I remember the day in my upper teens, almost 20, I just bowed and I said, "Yes, Lord, whatever." And the strife is gone. And I know that's very real this morning. Identify these things. I want to identify some very practical things. I think, I'm exposing a little bit of what we do, how we talk, and what we share things at home. So we would like to talk some very practical things. And I'm sure your fathers and mothers do the same. If we look at practical things, we can identify with where we're at. That seems very simple for me in life. Ask this question. Remember, we asked the question, who do you honor? And we're talking about God and Jesus. Do we honor him? And what do you honor? Have you ever went somewhere that your father and mother said you should not go? I want us to think about that. Maybe they didn't just say, no, you shouldn't go. But you knew down in your heart that my daddy don't want me to go. And you went. And you know, I assure you that night, if we're Christians, our conscience just ate us up. We laid and we toiled with condemnation. And I remember those times. I still can face those times in life. But this was, again, that move in the chessboard where the heat of the moment overtook the battle. And we did what was dishonorable. And we can turn around. We can turn away from it. We can have a clean conscience again. This exposes our level of honor to our parents and in our home. Not always in words, but you know, many of us know without words what our parents appreciate. Can you just go? Can you, as a young person, just go and do these things and say, I really still honor my parents. I do. I just have different convictions than they do. They just don't understand. I hear that. And I would just say that it's counterproductive to the kingdom of God. It will destroy my life. It'll destroy your lives. You know, sometimes very practically, and so, again, we make ourselves vulnerable when we become practical. But you know, sometimes mothers, they ask their daughters, they ask them, would you wear a certain dress? They just ask them to do that. I know that. I had a mother. I wasn't a daughter. They sometimes ask them to wear a certain covering. We just want you to wear this, please. They do that. I know mothers. They do that. That's their heart, Christian mothers. Biblical honor, remember. They ask him to do that. They ask him to comb their hair a certain way. They do. I know, because it's real to them. They know what's going on. Mothers do that. They ask him. They say, will you do this for me? Sometimes mothers will actually try, they will teach their daughters how to walk. How to walk with their feet. That's very practical, because they know. Honor them. Sisters, honor them. Sometimes they ask things of us. That's mothers. There's many other things they ask of you that sometimes you don't really know everything. You can't put 10 steps together. They just know they're there by the design of God. But I bless God for my mother. And I know you do too. But continue to bless them, and this is how you do it. Honor them and bless them. Listen to them and obey them. One of these ways leads to life, and the other one leads to death and brokenness, and lastly, eternal loss. Maybe your father. You know, I had to think, sometimes there's young men that don't have the prettiest situations in life. But we're talking biblical honor, but so we won't have a lot of balancing talk. But even someone in authority in your life, when you don't have a father, I believe you automatically need to change authority. Somewhere we have to find an authority figure where we can practice this principle. It's God ordained to help. It was in my life. Sometimes a father or someone in authority in your life, he gives direction to a young man. He tells him, I would like for you to comb your hair this way. I know that. I've experienced those things. I'd like for you to do that. The most counterproductive thing to do is to say, why? But it happens over and over and over. And it's that eagle. That eyes are plucked and we just can't see clear. And then we become foggier and foggier. And 10 years go by and we find ourselves at places that are dishonoring. And just burdens that God put on my own heart for my own family, my own life. Sometimes a father will say, he'll encourage you. He'll say, I'd like for you to take this job, not that job. And maybe that seems little, but I've seen jobs destroy men. Destroy them. They get jobs where it's no longer servanthood. It's big money and discontentment and unrighteous gain because of the immaturity. And I need accountability as being 20 years older, but we need help in life. We're not able to do it on our own. Sometimes a father also will say, I'd like for you to listen to this music, not this music. He'll just do that for you. Bless God for a father like that. I'm so thankful for that. I am thankful for a father like that in my life. He'll do that for you. It's God ordained. It's a blessing this morning. You know, sometimes I also hear it said at times, my father, don't tell me what to do. And I understand that. But I'd like to put a little bit of an assignment to you. You step in. Try it. Even if daddy's not saying anything. Go to him and say, here's my reading material. Here's my music. Daddy, what do you think? And I believe you'll find a blessing that you never experienced before. Because sometimes he's missing it. Sometimes he's thinking about things. Sometimes he's got burdens on his mind. Maybe he's missing some things. But in his heart, he will be overjoyed if you do that. Be overjoyed. Now, it's not always easy. It's not always easy. I remember a day in my life, again making myself vulnerable, where my father and I didn't have the closest relationship. And I was at a church service at 17 years old. And I remember hearing a real deep convicting message about every sin that I ever done and every one that I'm ever going to do is going to be right before my eyes on the great judgment day of God. And that was just kind of where things were let. And I walked home from church service that day and I thought, that's me. But I didn't have a good relation. It wasn't dad's fault, it was mine. But I thought, who could I talk to? I thought, well, if I talk to dad, he's not going to understand. If I do, he won't. It's going to be awkward. But I went in my room and I laid down and I couldn't sleep and I wrestled and I said, I've got to do something. Because if I go to the judgment with the way I am, I'm doomed. And so I made sure that everybody was sleeping. And I found my dad sitting on a recliner. And I just walked down there and I snuck down there. And it's something we didn't do a lot of, you know. I called him by name and he come up because he knew something was different. This wasn't normal. So I asked him that question. I said, is it true what that man said today at church? He said, yep, every word. And I said, Dad, what do I do? And that was the beginning of my journey. My dad didn't come to me. But I look back at that moment of life, and I'm so thankful. God is good. If you can take the burdens in your heart and just who cares what anyone thinks about you and you press in. And them days are past. But I look back at those days and I cherish them. And thank God for my father. He did the best he knew them days. He helped me the best he knew. So I understand those feelings. Maybe your father doesn't give you clear direction. Maybe mother doesn't always say everything and spell it out on paper. And I just had a thought, maybe this is something that I give an assignment this week for this subject of honor, an assignment. Go study them. Go home in your home and study them. And you will quickly see what they want and what they love. You will see it. It'll come out if that's what your pursuit is. Even if they don't talk much. And when we say that, remember this morning, your parents do have needs. But it's not really your position to point them out. You can talk about those and you can pray about those things together with your dad and mom. We do that sometimes, but it's not productive for you to do that. The blessing and honoring your parents, honoring your siblings, that you may purpose in your life to make their load lighter and their day brighter as young men instead of the opposite. The other night, we took our family to a little restaurant. We had a busy day, and we sat there, and we sat as a family. And over on the side, there was two men that they were family men, but they were there by themselves. And so I was eating and helping with the children, and I was earshot, and I could hear their conversation. And they were cursing their wives, and they were cursing their teenagers. And I sat there, and I was thinking of this message. And I thought, oh, I would to Jesus that our parents would say, my son is honorable, my daughter is honorable, and you have that responsibility. You have that responsibility. And as I sat and listened, I thought, no way, some of these children are going to fill the penitentiaries. And these dads and moms are hating and bickering. That's the world. But it presses into the kingdom. It presses into the church. Getting under them this morning, I think if you make some commitments, getting under your family, under your father and mother, holding up their hands. Because this morning, fathers and mothers get tired. They do get tired. They're not made of steel. Remember, you get tired. But God has a plan. He deserves all the glory. I had to think of these. You don't have to do that. It's just appeals, assignments. This will work. It'll be a blessing for you. You know, and we are here this week, a few days, and we could move this scene out ahead 10 years, and if you do these things, it will be a blessing for you. It could change your course of life. It could start today if it needs to, or it can be encouraged to continue on. Many of you I'm blessed by. I just want to encourage you, like, if there's change needed, change it today. Don't say, I'll put it off for a year or two. It'll be a blessing because it is a promise from the very heart of God. You know, this biblical truth of honor overpower us in the moments when the heat's on and when you know what's right to do, because that's when the rubber hits the road. That's when it's like, I know what I should do, but what will my friends think? What will my... You fill in the blanks. I know the pressures that come in our mind. To simply do what is right, God will be honored. I think of a story. It's a blessing sometimes to read our family stories and just talk about the way mankind thinks. Some time ago, there was a man, we were just visiting, and the man asked me some time ago, he said, how do I help? It was a very sincere question. I don't want to make light of these things. He said, how do I help my sons when they think they are more mature than me in their spiritual lives? We were just having a conversation. And It was well-meaning. And from that point on, I've been meditating on that question. I didn't really give an answer because he had older sons, and I'm still thinking. And so here I am today, kind of thought about it a little bit, and I thought, as I was thinking, the truth of the matter is, there may be some young men that are more spiritually mature than their fathers. There may be. That could very likely be the situation. But as I looked and meditated and studied the principle of honor this past number of weeks, the actual way to show your maturity is to see how you will honor your father, even if you are more mature. And God will honor that. It'll be the highest level of maturity that you could ever achieve. Because this is an institution of God. This isn't the social plans that come up with in this world. Because the argument of that is, you know, the pushback is, you know, there are so many young men and women that they're sitting in their homes and they're busting at the seams and they're saying, I can't wait till I'm 18 so I can get on out of here. This is a thought from the world that presses into the church. Secretly, when I'm 18, I'm going to do a few things. Think about it. Give those things some thought. Think of this, I would say, a cancer of dishonor. Those years from 16 to 24, 25, you know, those are the most precious years of formative and being formed into what you are going to be the rest of your life. It is the most important years that you need a father. The most important years. I know that these things are not easy. I know that. That's why it's kind of like, here we are, Lord. These aren't easy things, but they're truths that will carry us through. You can turn your Bibles to Malachi. The last scripture is in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 1. We'll start reading in verse 1 to 6. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. They shall build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? This is the Lord speaking. And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you? O priests that despise my name, and ye that say, wherein have ye despised thy name? You offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and you say, wherein have you polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible, and you offer the blind for sacrifice. Is it not evil? And you offer the lame and sick. Is it not evil? Offer it now unto the governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This has been by your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. I will just stop reading there. There's a level of dishonor there that Malachi was giving that picture there. They were dishonoring the Lord. They were giving polluted things. They were offering things less than all, less than their full intentions or their, you know, think of a polluted, things polluted on the altar of God. And they were pretending to be all. That was dishonorable, and the Lord was not receiving it. That was in reference to the Lord. Verse 14, it says, and if you jump down to verse 14, it says, but cursed be the deceiver who hath in his flock a male, and voweth, and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am the great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. And I just want us to look at, there's something about dishonor, and there's a word linked to it, and it's cursed. It's cursed. It's a pattern in the Word of God. And so you see, but cursed be the deceiver, that which hath in his flock a male, and he offers the corrupt thing. There's a curse that comes there that you can't really put a finger on it, but it's a curse that just takes men and women down the wrong road. None of us want a curse, but here it is again, the way out. This is the move on the chessboard to honor God and to honor your parents and honor your family and your siblings. What will thou have me to do, Daddy? This is the move on the chessboard. On the second point we've talked about today, you can turn right over to Malachi. Remember, there was a curse there to not honor God. And so if you turn over to Malachi chapter 4, very familiar verses there too as well. There's another curse there. I'm sure many of you are familiar with that. Malachi chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. We're just going to read those. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. There's that curse again. God is jealous this morning, very jealous this morning on this subject. I found it the more I looked into it, the more urgent I seemed to become for my own family and today, these few days, for you all. God is very jealous of this subject because it really is the stage or the platform for where you're going in the next 20 years of life. I know we need to speak about being born again, but we did talk about that earlier. But the subject of honor, if there's one thing you could do, is you would purpose to honor God's ways, honor his authority. Honor God, honor the Lord Jesus Christ with your all. Don't let no sin stand in the way. Come clean before Jesus. And then the second point we looked at today was honor your father and your mother. Go to them. Give them your desires for life. Share with them what you love. Maybe there's some correction needs to happen, but they'll give that to you because they love you. This is God's order. There's many, many things. I'd like to just close again with that verse in Peter. Turn over to that. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. So I would like to open myself up if anybody has any questions. Those are some burdens and things the Lord laid upon my heart. May the Lord stir in us today to honor him with our all. In our homes, where there's honor in our homes, there's peace. And many, many things can happen for the kingdom of God. Many, many glorious things. And therein lies a blessing. Therein lies a blessing. May the Lord bless each of you the remainder of this day. And look forward to spending another day or so with you all. God bless you all.